Season 7, Episode 8, Bollywood and the Digital Footprint. Trage introduces a case relating to an injured worker who submitted a claim against her national grocer chain employer arising from her experience of heel pain. However, the employer discovered that the injured worker enjoyed dancing throughout her claim period. In fact, she danced with great gusto, Bollywood style, putting her back into it, said Alan. Her Instagram account revealed the dancing activity. Instagram had a seat at the legal table, Trage deliberates. The digital footprint. Agree, Sarah. This digital stuff, yeah, it's here to stay. Welcome to the WoWork podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
You know, I've been working with teams to expand some of my offerings into industry, right? So we've got multiple brands to offer. There's the Why Work podcast, of course. There's Viva, Health at Work, all of the transformational work design. And there's a new brand that I'm developing, and that's called Vivid Design Labs. And that is purely to provide two things: design advisory councils that you've heard me talk about, and then a suite of technologies to help resolve business transformation needs, right? Working with tech partners. So when I was working in that Vivid Design Labs, the guys had me go through this process, the folks I'm working with, and they did this it's almost like a personality quiz to work out your brand identity, all right? And I'll tell you, so remember my Why Work, spirit animal, the otter. Let me see if this makes sense to you. The brand identity of Sarah. Number one is the jester, right? Just like the class clown from high school, she just wants to live in the moment with full enjoyment, right? Have a great time, blah, blah, blah. So I've got to consider this when I'm branding. Then there's the creator, which is, an innovator and transformative and doing things always differently, giving some enduring value. Oh my gosh, that's the language I use all the time, right? And give form to function with vision. Self-expression, must have self-expression and won't conform. And then the next one, so this is my trio, is outlaw.
And all of them, to the truth.
I know, it's all about revolution. Stories. Destroy what's not working. Disregard and bulldoze and move ahead with revolutionary attitudes. That's why I always get so frustrated with the really mundane, mandatory kinds of ways that work is done. And I'm always seeing things somewhere else. And I just don't understand why nobody else sees it. It frustrates the heck out of me. So the jester, the creator, and the outlaw apparently are what I need for my brand identity. Cool. And so I think Vivid Design Labs will do that. I love it.
That could be cool. But you just remind me of our spirit animals.
Yes.
And Owlin, but I don't know if you can see this picture. See this owl?
Oh, that's like what's a psychedelic
that?
Owl.
That's a painting made by my painter, Jack, and he's offering that to me as a gift. Or he's also a graffiti artist. He's a great house painter, but that or this one. So just really vivid artwork. When you said vivid, yes. but I do like the Owlin one.
You just talked about psychedelic drugs, and that's what this
and
looks
that,
like, right?
That's what it looks like. See, look, people reading into things, people jumping to conclusions. That's what's wrong with this world. I do like the Owlin. I'm pretty much going to keep it and hang it in my studio.
How does that shape the deer? The stag,
He didn't know that we had spirit animals. It was just Jack, great painter. It was just Jack doing
thanks,
his
Jack.
Paint. So that's cool. But yes, I thought I'll hang that one up. That'll go to the pool room. Now, Alan, you've got something, haven't you?
Coming from the party place of the state, you'd like to get up and dance.
Hey, I'm part of the jester, creator, and outlaw. Bring it. What do you got?
Have you ever done Bollywood dancing?
Oh, how fun. Ooh. How how fun.
Doesn't it look fantastic?
Yeah. Absolutely. The color and the energy, vitality, right?
Well,
tell me about this.
Traj is about to tell us about a Bollywood band.
Oh, Traj. Bollywood.
Oh, yes, this case. The injured worker dancing with great gusto, Bollywood style.
Now, her name's a bit difficult to pronounce. Well, it is for me. Probably Malik Dua. Could that be it?
Well,
versus Coles Group Limited.
Rupali Malik Dua.
Oh.
Is that it? Is that it?
It could be. But I really like this case, and we'll unpack it in a minute. I like about the facts, because the facts are so vivid. I'm going to run with this word now, vivid and colourful facts. And it involves dancing, and it involves going to the cricket with great vigour.
I gather she was a good Bollywood dancer.
Well, she'd have to be if the court used the word gusto. You don't just use the word gusto unless you're really putting, no pun intended, your back into it. However, it's not just about the activities. It's not just about going to the cricket and cheering on your favourite team. It's not just about dancing with great gusto. It's about social media,
Right. That was social media for everybody needing to hear that. Tell us the case.
It's about social media. Well, the facts are pretty simple in that the worker was injured, allegedly, and put in a workers' compensation claim.
Bilateral plantar fasciitis.
You wanted to say that, didn't you?
No, I did. Now,
tell us about it.
I deliberately wore these daggy shoes because I've had plantar fasciitis.
Tell me about it, because I don't know what that means.
Oh. It's really quite painful.
Okay.
Heel pain.
Heel pain. It's quite painful, and it takes, it does resolve, but it takes a while to resolve, and I didn't make any progress in resolving it until I started wearing these ugly running shoes. And then I just gradually got better and better.
They're just like extra foam rocking shoes. And I've got running shoes like that, and they help. They're good.
But I just reading the facts, this young worker.
Yes.
So you probably didn't pick up on this, but the shoes she was wearing were not good shoes for recovering from plantar fasciitis. So I was unsurprised that it was taking her a long time to get over it.
So the worker was employed by Coles Group in the bakery section across various bakeries. She worked as a casual retail team member.
She was the manager.
Yes, all from 2022 on a full-time basis. So for the first 4 years, so she had proved her worth, her mettle, by working in the bakery section. And then, but she resigned a little bit thereafter, ceasing work soon afterwards. But a workers' compensation claim was made pursuant to the relevant legislation in that state for injuries including
plantar fasciitis.
Yes. Yeah. Arising.
Is there a difference between plantar fasciitis and bilateral plantar fasciitis?
That just means 2 feet. Both of them are affected.
So a claim was made as arising out of the course of her employment, of course, that you need that sufficient nexus. Coles accepted the claim by notice, and then entitlements continued. So the things unremarkable about the process. We're not interested in the workers' compensation claim.
But I think you need to do that to put the case in perspective. So she resigned, so she finished employment, and she got paid 6 months' worth of workers' compensation, which is not your full employment payments, but quite close.
Yeah.
So she got 6 months, so she was recovering. She got the plantar fasciitis. She then resigns from her work, and she got an extra 6 months worth of workers' compensation. But she said in her claim that she hadn't recovered, so she had the condition for more than 6 months, and she was seeking more money than the 6 months' compensation.
And that can complicate things to resign. It's funny because, you're still in the middle of a workers' compensation claim, and I think maybe you can speak to that, Alan, about,
Well, I did find that a bit confusing. Yeah. Maybe you understood that, Traj, but, I didn't understand why she resigned and then made the claim, and why she just didn't simply make the claim.
Look, but the thing is, that in itself, it's not unusual, because there have been some cases where workers have just elected, look, that's it, they
Done with this,
they no longer wish to work. I didn't find anything odd about the sequencing of that. To me, it's quite a, some do, some stay on, some cease working. I don't think there's anything in that in itself.
Okay.
I'm more interested in the nexus between just how much the worker was in pain.
So she's claiming, bear with me, so she's claiming what? She's claiming that it interfered with her ability to work even though she chose to resign, yep. and that it interferes with her future
yep.
Capabilities to find relevant work. Is that correct? That's the implication. Yes. If you're filing a claim, help me out here, right? Yeah. Okay.
So the way, before you get into the facts of the way the court case progressed, so she's got 6 months worth of workers' compensation, and then Coles, which was the employer, said enough's enough, and they decided to contest it. And so, Sarah, what they did at that point is they spied on her. And they spied on her. Not only did they go to her social media, but they also sent out the filming crews, and they filmed her in her private life.
So a private investigator.
So a private investigator filming, videoing her in her private
life. What's the cost of that versus just paying 6 months, right?
Huge cost. Yeah, but remember, you know, this is it's not just a one-off case. There are also issues of precedent and other things. So the central issue was that the injured worker had maintained that this that the injury has continued to affect her mentally, financially, and physically.
So, were they concerned that this would become a larger claim? Coles?
They're always concerned. Yeah, employers will always be concerned about
that's
the,
right.
So, about whether. So, now there is the issue of. And actually, I knew someone, I do know someone who is engaged usually by government to catch. As they used to call that back in the day, malingerers. They don't use that term anymore.
Malinger.
But, right. but they don't do that. Either term, but he mainly would be engaged by various government agencies, however, and private. So these are essentially private spies or private investigators. So they went on a path of compiling evidence, predominantly social media evidence.
You know, just as a tangent, because you said that, I recall one of my yoga instructors telling a story about going to the U.S. and in San Francisco, I believe, and family friend was a sniper. So by day, really warm and caring, and then he'd just have to step out for a night or two, do his job, come on back.
Oh, gosh.
Could you imagine that? And she said, she wouldn't have never known, but that was the job. A bit like we say, people have all kinds of various jobs. This person was a government-trained sniper.
Interesting, because the injured worker's central contention was that all of these fun activities, i.e. the Bollywood dancing, going on cruises, just having fun, they were being limited. So the quality
she
of life.
She did have a good life. She was
wonderful. I'm sure these things that are still, I mean, it's.
Around baking at Coles, she was a Bollywood dancer.
She was more than that, enjoying holidays with family, visits to India.
Yeah.
And good on her.
Was she a paid dancer?
I'm not sure.
Was that an income?
I didn't go into that detail, although I do know somebody who does dance semi-professionally dancing, but they're sort of. They're all similar, depending on the customs and the practices of the region.
Mm.
So it's not one size fits all. I don't know what type of Bollywood dancing.
I got the impression that she did it as a hobby.
Yes.
Yeah, she wasn't a professional dancer.
So, and it was more. So the battle lines are. I'm very limited in enjoying my life and my vigor, and as a young person, you should, and good on you. Against, so I'm limited in this. Against, well. We've got evidence to suggest that you're not limited.
Right. And so she made a claim for a workplace injury, saying that that limited her from her social life and the activities that sustained her. When you look at good, basic, fundamental occupational therapy practice, your activities of daily living and instrumental activities was her dance. And in return, the employer has said, well, hang on, we're going to find out how you are living your life.
Yeah.
They've done an investigation, and they find that she still dances, correct?
Well, Coles decided to use specifically a powerful tool called Instagram.
Right. Yep.
And traverse the various posts, clearly these were private posts, to depict her in various in situ, in various
moments
recreational
of dance.
Activities. Well, it goes on. Posts, for example, showed the Ms. Malik Dua standing in formal attire with her husband and friends celebrating the Indian cultural festival of Diwali.
Okay.
Posts in November showed her standing with her husband in a Halloween costume. Posts in November captioned one great weekend, including a 13-second video, showed her at a T20, which is what type of cricket, Alan? A T20 match?
Yes, international.
Very fast-paced. Against India in Melbourne with her husband standing and actively barracking and waving a flag.
Right.
For those who've been to the cricket, you don't just sit there, you're full on in.
That was my response too.
Okay, and?
Another great weekend was in Formula Thai celebrating with female friends at a birthday party. It showed standing in Formula. So the key theme in every paragraph is the word standing.
So she said what were her exact disabilities that she claimed?
Plantar fascia.
Yeah. So. But you can stand with plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
So bear with. So help me out. That's why I'm
in activity. And
yeah, of course.
The trick is not pushing yourself to the point where you're in pain.
Fasciitis refers to inflammatory cumulative trauma that happens over time, so that you can't sustain and endure ongoing activity. So if she was running a marathon, you might be more concerned. But standing and just waving, I'm still reserved here. Hang on, keep going.
It's just like a very active life. I don't know if I've been to this many festivals and birthday parties celebrating.
Oh, party trash.
You've partied harder than everyone.
I've forgotten all of that. There was another life. So showed her in Punjab with her daughter, including crouching on the ground. Post showed her in Delhi with family at an amusement park. And it just descends, going to all the various holiday festivals. Don't sit around at these festivals. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, but
what did they expect, that she was just going to be bedbound? People are not bedbound with plantar fasciitis.
Come on, pull out your trump
card.
Except
where's the trump card?
I'm sort of this is a bit of a shopping list of good times. This is quite the shopping list of good times. Except that, as I said, she could only dance, but 5 to 10 minutes at a time. You've been to one of these festivals? You don't dance for 5 to 10 minutes. You are non-stop dancing.
Was she caught dancing non-stop, Trish?
Well. Oh, she could stand or walk for 2 hours. Now, if you're traversing various parties, she'd been to a hike twice. So it's basically the position of the injured worker is that can only do these fun activities in very small bursts.
Short bursts, yes.
As opposed to the suggestion by the employer that these aren't short bursts. These are ongoing, regular activities for quite long periods of time.
And you used the word earlier, gusto, and yes. There is a passage that says she was dancing with gusto.
Now, anyone who dances with gusto, I'm telling you what, they're not doing a very slow waltz at a retirement village.
But are they doing it for long? Because again, yes. I go back to plantar fasciitis.
You can waltz with gusto, Trace.
Whilst wearing activewear, now I know Alan loves to wear activewear from Lululemon. If any sponsors out there, Alan in his high viz activewear.
I'd like some Lululemon. It's Lululemon, by the way.
Well, I'm going to picture that Alan should be the next.
It's Lululemon, and I'd like some Lululemon sponsorship.
He refuses to wear it because I don't know why.
Do we have a listener who works at Lululemon?
Come on, Lululemon.
What about Lorna Jane, Alan? I could see you in some Lorna Jane.
It looks like it should be Lululemon, but it is Lululemon.
I think so. Not Lorna Jane for Alan.
Lululemon, let's go. Okay,
I'll do Lorna Jane's clothing.
So they caught her dancing.
Yes, but let me specifically, more than dancing, in July the 2023, a 13-second video showed her standing with a friend wearing activewear and runners on a track at the Yu Yang Ranges. As for this activity, it was accepted that she had been walking between an hour and half an hour and that her pain had aggravated, but she didn't continue. So there's more than these 5 to 10 minute bursts. See, the courts have to, on balance of probabilities, make a decision here.
I'm sorry, but you can participate in life with plantar fasciitis and do some work, but an 8-hour day is different than half an hour or an hour here and there. I mean,
all right.
Alan, what's your experience?
Yeah, that's exactly what you can do.
Wait, what was that? Yep. That's exactly. So again, Alan. I'm right. This is the third time today. I just want to just kidding.
Yeah,
okay.
She's really, really obsessed with the
rain her in, Trace.
This is serotonin and status right now. Yeah. My little dopamine wins. I need to be right with you guys. I've had a feisty week, so I want a few wins this week.
I want to know, Alan, how often. So you do suffer from this condition?
No, I've recovered from it.
You've recovered?
Yeah.
So have you stopped wearing high heels?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you can wear high heels.
Well, you wanted to know where one of my, wait for it moments. On post on the 21st of August 2023, this Barbie is gold, that was the post, showed Miss Malik Dua standing in a formal gold-coloured dress and heeled court shoes with her husband and friends celebrating, surprise, surprise, another birthday event. Under cross-examination, she agreed that, wearing shoes with a heel, although it's not a big heel, but nevertheless, they are high-heeled shoes. So you've got somebody, and good on her, can I just say, with great gusto, embracing life, living life to the fullest. This is party central, and I love it.
But Coles is saying not on our dime.
I love it, not on our dime.
No, look, see, I think Trace has missed the thrust of this case, which is...
Well, he's got the gusto, so tell us about the thrust.
He's got the gusto. So, look, I think what's happened is...
I haven't finished.
No, you're out. You're cut off.
Oh, come on.
What's happened is that she's gone too far. She's asked for too much. So she's got 6 months' worth of workers' compensation. Coles has said, that's enough. You should have recovered by now. She's come in and asked for more, and Coles said, no, that's intolerable.
Okay, so she pushed it by asking for more.
She pushed too hard. And then when she gave evidence, her evidence was not strong. Her credibility was thrown in question. Right. And she didn't have really strong medical evidence to back her up.
And was the six-month payment rescinded? Did she have to pay that back?
No.
Oh, she was able to keep that.
So I just wanted to go on a bit more with the good time posts. I'll end with one more, and that she was
wanted the good times to go on,
and that and there was another post showing she was out with friends wearing black boots and celebrating a social event. So the point I'm making here is that social media, and we've talked about this ad nauseum at times on this podcast, be very careful. Remember the very first season we talked about posts at the internet and how these could lead to all sorts of, whether there are allegations of bullying, etc., whether it's reality television shows. Here is a very direct application of Insta to discredit your allegation that you are suffering from abuse.
Be careful with your Instagram.
Oh, we've mentioned
that's the takeaway.
We've mentioned this, and again, I've seen professors review student applications for, particularly even with their borderline grades, and I've seen them go in and check out their Instagram, social media, Facebook. Employers will do that before hiring, and they want to understand what am I inheriting, because we just talked about what's your reputation outside of work as well as inside. And people often have reservations about going on a dating app, and that is a modern contemporary way of connecting, but because their role or their professional profile, they might not want that publicly known that they want to go out and date, right? So there are impacts as soon as you put it out. It's public, right?
Yes, absolutely.
The digital footprint. Dun dun.
So and was the court acknowledged that it's true that the Instagrams are mere snapshots, like of events?
Moment in time.
Yeah, they're all moments in time.
It all weighed against
them. Yeah.
But they got an investigator to follow her and video capture. Yeah. That's a whole nother level.
Yeah, it's expensive, and I'm not being critical of investigators. It's a time-consuming process, and so, it's expensive because of the time.
Yeah. So it's just food for thought that, whilst not taking away that person does have a condition, that person has been injured in the course of employment, I guess the balancing act is, and this was all about how long perhaps that injured worker would have anticipated or expected payments to be made.
They're trying to mitigate their losses and the implications. And something that's cumulative is so hard to prove causational pathways. Cumulative, Alan, I suspect you didn't go to your workplace and argue that your plantar fasciitis came from, standing in courtrooms and whatnot.
No, so, well, I've had, so I wasn't going to do that.
But I'm just saying, you can see where it's really hard to unpack and for cumulative exposures, really identify the source, the place, the causational pathway. You might have more of a chance sometimes with noise exposures, and you have the benchmarks to understand what you've been exposed to at a workplace, for example. Respirable dust only happens in one place versus another. But something like walking on your feet,
yes,
and propensity to plantar fasciitis is hard. So the fact that she got 6 months compensation is, I guess, phew. And they thought that's enough. Right.
And you know what's fascinating about the case? It isn't so much about the injury and the type of compensation. Again, it's back to technology, and this is the point I was making. Remember back in, was it season two, I think, or three, we talked about the use of emojis and be careful when you use an emoji. So
the GIF gal, baby.
So, you've got all of these various things, and indeed some judges were using the universal, there's a code, there's a universal code as to what emoji means what. Be very careful. Remember, we devoted a couple of episodes. Eggplants.
Yep.
Yeah, we did all that stuff. Now, what I find fascinating is for this particular decision, they were balancing snapshots, so social media, like things that we take for granted on Insta, etc., against the weight of forensic medical evidence. And that was being all put into the mix, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be, because there was a time pre-internet where you'd just be looking at, you line up the doctors and you go, yeah. These are reports by very learned specialists.
Yes, but I see two reports. I have been in that place of doing functional assessments for employees, right? In one of my past lives of my work, where we looked at the functional assessments and had to weigh up piles of paperwork, and you can have a really strong case for the defense and a really strong case for the prosecution, both with learned medical teams providing a response that are completely at loggerheads with one another.
Yeah, right? That's right, because that's the adversarial system.
Who's paying them? Who's paying them?
I get that. And both Coles and the injured worker had
brought their own evidence, their experts. Right?
Yep. But my point is, Insta had a seat at the table.
Yes, I hear you. Social media.
This is sensational. That's like, this to me is, if society's not on top of this, then they better start getting on top of it soon.
Did they throw all the evidence into AI and ask for the judgment?
Sarah, that's a great point. Watch this space. Dude will have a vending machine. Put output. Hang on, magistrate's court, district court, output.
Input, decision.
And something spits out a decision. Oh, hang on, let's ask AI. So I just, for me, I'm more fascinated, not about the mechanism of injury and all the things, but here we are with technology, socials, getting a seat at the court table. I love it.
So this last little segment, this segue of talking about decision making, I've lately been doing quite a bit of advisory services to businesses, asking them about what systems they have in place to show transparent decision making, right? Alan, you and I have talked about this. And my research is called multi-criterion decision making, where it's where everybody who has a seat at the table, like the Instagram versus the medical evidence, you recognize what evidence you want to, have voice, right? Has any merit. And then you disclose the weighting of this. So it's a way of mathematizing qualitative decision making, quantifying this, right? So you have there's apps that can do this, and there are complex equations that mathematicians can use too. But I often just pull out a little app, an FYI decision making app, and we'll look at this and we'll say, okay, when you're trying to make a decision about something, and let me take something really basic, right? Nothing as complex as this Bollywood dancer for the moment. So it'll make it very concrete to make sense. Just a chair, right? The chair we're sitting on, an artifact of something we're sitting on. Now a business might want to make a decision about chairs they bring into their business. And you think, oh, that's a small decision, is it? But when you think of, hundreds of workers and tens and thousands of dollars of expenditure, it's a chair. Okay, let's talk about it. So the chair might be designed to meet Australian standards, which are really basic and 20 plus years old, right? And it has a five-wheel base for an office, and it, conforms to certain parameters for weight specifications. You may say ergonomically that it has adjustability, and we find that's really important. Your designers may say, I want it aesthetically to match the design. Your maintenance teams might say, I need the fabric to be easy, clean, and easily replaced, right? You might have procurement that has specifications just on price, right? You have safety teams who want ways to ensure that there's some incident management if, again, for the bariatric chair options, right? And your human resource workforce strategy wants inclusivity. They also want these different weight chairs, mama bear, baby bear, papa bear size chairs to accommodate different workers. Da-da-da-da. Go through the list, right? Everybody has a different opinion on what's important on this chair. And I have seen businesses just get at loggerheads and really have a lot of tension among their teams because a decision on something like a chair or something far more complex is not disclosed. What are your motivations? So by doing this decision making, everybody has to disclose some of the rationale, and sometimes you don't even know what's embedded in why you think it's important until you're forced to articulate it, and then weight it and negotiate these weightings. And then you can test your options against this and see how it comes out, the net result on this. I'll show you this in our break. It spits out PDF reports, shows you all these beautiful colored graphics. And then even then, the tool for decision making doesn't make the decision for you, but you can say, oh, look, it came up with the chair Sarah's sitting on, but I can test that strongly. So you can go back and change the parameters and renegotiate until you finally come to consensus. It's like a digital tool for a charrette, right? But in this case too, I wonder, well, social media matters. Did we suddenly give it 60% rating on the Bollywood case? Did we give it more rating than the medical doctor? Like, how are you going to be transparent about this? And I imagine a lawyer, help me out, a defense would want to see there's some transparency in decision making, right? For cases. And regulators would love to see what was foreseeable and reasonable. Well, here, we've done our decision-making matrix. We understand how we've weighted this. Here you are. Here's evidence.
Well, Sarah, I'm going to take you back to a topic that you've talked about earlier, which relates to transparent decision-making.
Oh,
And after the break, I'm going to ask you to have a think about a case that's only just come out a fortnight ago where there wasn't proper consideration of sexual drives.
We're going back to motivators, biochemistry, that
just
kind of element.
Wanted one episode where we didn't talk about sex, baby. About you and me.
Well,
let's talk about all the good things and the bad things.
It's primitive. It's a primal
let's
driver.
Talk about it.
It's so important that we think about sex.
All right.
Sex will. Yeah.
I need a coffee before we talk about that stuff. Just one episode. One, two,
or the toilet.
Three, four.
You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.